And you are now tuned into a special episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by My Skin Is My Sin. And we have the honor and the privilege of welcoming back to the platform Grandmaster Jay, the King. How are you doing, bro?
I'm still black, as y'all can see. That's how I'm being treated. Like I'm black, like I'm just a color. That's how I'm doing right now. I'm learning firsthand what a lot of the icons in the 60s went through. I understand how they felt now. I understand their fears. I understand their challenges. I understand it because I'm going through it. But I'm glad to be here. You know, I'm always going to be family. So when my brother reaches out to me, it's some people I'm going to talk to. So I'm glad to be here because I hope we don't have to get petty. But if I have to get petty, I'm petty right here on Intellectually Petty Radio. Hey,
this is home for you, bro. Always and forever. No matter what you go through, bro, we got your back. You know, if don't nobody else do, man. And we are proud of you, unapologetically so. Just so you know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I would have thought that by now, the love of the people would have translated into a display of unity, just like the white folks do. See, white folks is unified irregardless of whether they right or wrong. Black folks, we like to pick and choose what we're going to be dignified and upset about. But the love I do appreciate, but I want y'all to think about this. We watch these white people put $2 million together for Kyle Rittenhouse, who clearly went up there and murdered some people. Yet they said, I shined a flashlight at somebody, scared some cops, which I ain't never seen no black man survive that, if that actually happened. But they saying that's what I did. And y'all know I got to fight two cases on the state and the federal level. And y'all know they doing this to break me financially because they're going to drag it out. And black folks, I just got one question. If this is really what you think the struggle is about, that this is an attack on black people and not just me, if you really realize that history is not repeating itself, people are repeating history. If you can see that, then I don't understand why people have not contributed to my legal fund. And I'm going to say it outright because I already know they're going to throw everything they got at me because we know this whole thing is bullshit. But I got to talk to my peoples for a second. Why do you think they don't want me to speak on social media? Because they know I'm going to start telling y'all the truth. And a lot of y'all know what the truth is. If they start with me, you're next. So we either draw a line in the sand right now and y'all get down with the program and educate other people around you who don't even know what's really going on. And go to the GoFundMe page so when I walk in here, I can beat this case and we can get back to the business of black liberation. That's just my intro. So glad to be here, though. So glad to see you.
Always a pleasure. And please tell us, and for the record, this is a man that has not asked for one motherfucking cent prior to this. People would say, hey, where could I donate? We don't need your money. Now we need your motherfucking money. Like, stop bullshitting. Stop giving the goofy shit. This is a brother that literally put his life and his freedom on the line for black folks. I don't give a fuck how you feel. Put some motherfucking money up, please. They want to donate. What's the GoFundMe, bruh?
The GoFundMe is Grandmaster Jay's Legal Defense Fund. You can Google it. It's the only one that actually was started by two other individuals while I was in federal custody, a woman by the name of Rosemary Parker, and, of course, y'all know Michi X. They have the official GoFundMe site. Don't fall for none of these fake ones. Even in a time when black folks are being attacked because they just want to love on themselves and stand for themselves, there's still some Negroes out there trying to capitalize off the situation. They don't care about getting free. They don't care about getting liberated. They could care less about me and you because they don't care about themselves. They've been damaged in such a way that they don't realize that what we're trying to do is get everybody free, trying to get everybody straight, trying to fix everybody's problems, trying to get everybody out of debt, trying to move everybody out of poverty, trying to move everybody, me, you too. So how you gonna sit there and just think to yourself, this ain't got nothing to do with me, so I'm just gonna do me and make some money off of it. Don't fall for the fake when the real is happening right here in front of your face. So y'all go to the Grandmaster Jay Legal Defense Fund. You can Google it. You can look it up on GoFundMe. I think we up to now somewhere around $130,000. Like, that's a drop in the bucket. Y'all don't seem to realize how expensive these lawyers are and how expensive these court cases can be, especially what they did is hit me with a federal and a state. So I'm fighting two cases at the same time, two totally different systems, because the idea is not to take me out. This is not about me. We were becoming too unified. We were talking too strong. We was walking too strong. We were looking too strong. We was black folks, just black folks, with black folks, for black folks, about black folks, hadn't hurt nobody, and they couldn't take it no more. So this is what they've done. So now black folks everywhere that call themselves a part of the United Black Kemetic Nation, those of y'all who said that you for the liberation, you've been waiting on the revolution, you this, you that, y'all who always talk about, if I had been alive back then, I would have done this. Well, this is your time, because it's happening right now. It's happening right now. Let me say it again. It's happening right now. So whatever you're doing right now is exactly what you would have done back then. So prove me wrong, because right now I'm seeing a lot of people say, we love you, Jay. We support you, Jay. And you're right. I ain't never asked for nothing, but I also didn't ask for this. And the only reason they came after this brother, because this brother stood up for you. That's all I got to say on that. We can go ahead and talk about something else, black man.
And I don't, you know, like, and I thought about this long and hard. I don't want to ask too many questions because I understand the delicate nature of the scenario. Can you talk about what happened when they picked you up?
Of course, I have nothing to hide.
Okay.
As I said before, I have not committed any crimes. I'm not talking to you as a defendant. I'm talking to you as a law-abiding U.S. citizen that bogus charges have been put against, that they've come up with, that they actually came and had the audacity to try to enact against me, a law-abiding U.S. citizen. What I will tell you all is this. Shortly after I accepted my award, the award that I got for Global Protector from the I Am Black Awards in Atlanta, which was a very beautiful ceremony. It was such an honor to share the stage with such folks as Martin Luther King's mother-in-law, who was 90-some years old. It was an honor for me to be honored with other people making the difference in the Black community. Shortly after that was over, I returned home, and when I came home, I barely had gotten home long enough to unpack all of the gifts, read all of the cards, the appreciation, and just seeing how much gratitude that Black folks had poured out in a positive way for what I and my organization had done. So I was feeling good about that. I went to sleep about 4 o'clock in the morning, because I was up all morning. And I was going to sleep in late. It was my day to play catch up. I'll tell you that shortly thereafter, I was awakened by the sound of a drone. Yes, you know the drones that fly through the sky. Hovering above my face while I lie in my bed. And then I became aware of this big booming voice that said, John Fitzgerald Johnson, this is the FBI. We have a warrant. Come out with your hands up. It was a real loud, like bullhornish type, you know, and I'm thinking, am I dreaming? What the hell is this thing hovering over me? And so I looked out the window, and there were blinding lights, and there was some machine sitting in front of the house, and there was people dressed like soldiers. And again, they repeated the same thing. So I said, well, this is going to be interesting, because I haven't done a damn thing wrong. And so I went downstairs to check it out. When I got downstairs, I realized that while I was asleep, they had already pushed open the front door. The front door was laying in the front of the atrium where the house was. And they had already, they didn't knock it down. They used a machine to push it down. And that's how the drone got in the house. So now I realize they already been here for a minute. I don't know why I was sleeping so hard. Maybe that was Yah not allowing them to awake me so that I could do something that will give them the excuse to kill me, which is exactly what I believe this was a setup to do, because they came at the same time, almost to the minute, when they came to Fred Hampton's house 51 years ago. So the whole idea was, I guess I was supposed to come out gung-ho, guns blazing, going out in a hail of, no, we not doing that, because that's never been my motive and that's not my mindset. So that's how they came to the location. And of course, when I came out, I didn't realize how large this task force was that they brought. Oh, this was something that was very much over the top for little old me. They brought a whole goddamn military task force of soldiers, not police officers, soldiers. And you could tell they were soldiers. And I'm thinking, okay, what kind of resistance were you expecting? This is going to be good. That's how they came and I was pulled into the situation.
Okay, so they take you down. What did they charge you with?
When I got down, they didn't take me down anywhere. Mm-hmm. The feds don't work like that.
Okay.
When the feds come to see you, they have to sit you down right then and there and show you the warrant and show you what the complaint is and tell you what it's all about. They're very, very, very upfront with you. You know, they let you know this is why we're here. There ain't gonna be no mystery. Mm-hmm. It's not like what they did to Breonna Taylor, where they kicked door down, guns blazing, and don't nobody know what happened in the house and people walking all over the crime scene. It wasn't like that. This was trust and believe when I tell you this was a top level government operation. I watched what I could before they took me away. This was a very big operation. It was a coordination of different agencies. There were all different types of people. They were very careful not to break anything. Listen to what I'm telling you, my brother. They made sure they didn't break nothing. Wow. They cataloged everything, every weapon, every body armor, everything that they could get their hands on and said NFAC. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then they told me right then and there, they showed me the complaint. And of course, when I saw it, I said, this is bullshit. I'll be honest with you. And the guy said, well, it says right here that you've heard the complaint. They've read it. You've seen the charge, assaulting, intimidating, impeding, all of these things done to some officers. And I'm going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never done anything like that. But that's what the charge was. That's at the federal level. Mm-hmm. And then once they transported me to the holding facility to book me and so forth, I was done with them and I was about to depart when the state of Kentucky showed up and said, now hold on a minute, we got some charges too. Interestingly enough, they gave me the same charge that they gave the police officer that shot into Breonna Taylor's house, wanton endangerment. See, it's two different charges. Don't listen to these people who ain't talking to nobody, don't know what the hell they talking about. I done heard all kind of crazy shit out there. Y'all stop listening to these people that are not talking to me. I'm gonna let you know right now, if they say they talk to Jay, they lying. I ain't talking about two, three people, and I can tell you who they are, but I ain't talking to nobody else. So all these people making up all this shit, you don't know what you talking about. So cut the shit short. I'm gonna say that point blank. At the end of the day, Louisville came up with the little wanton endangerment, but the feds came up with the, threatening the a federal officer or police officers or whatever. So two totally separate charges. So when they came with their charges, of course, I had to go and deal with that situation. And contrary to popular belief, there was no bond. They let me leave on my own recognizance from Louisville. But for the feds, they placed me on this where I am now. Mm-hmm. In this modified pretrial release condition. I'm not free. It's not over. Y'all stop telling that lie. It's not over. It's just beginning. Now you have to sit back and wonder what these messages was they trying to send by. Not only what they doing with me, they raiding gun manufacturers now. They actually starting to make it hard enough for you to own a weapon right now. They looking at a platform that'll charge you a $200 tax for every high capacity magazine you own right now. They gonna make you either sell your weapon back to the government or it's gonna cost you so much and be registered that they know who got them.
Yeah, it went mute there for a second.
What's happening with me is just a piece of a bigger picture. You understand what I'm saying to you? Those were the charges, which are crazy charges. When I read them, I'm not going to go. Now I can't go into detail. But I'll tell you, when I read that, I sat back and like, oh, that's what y'all came with. Okay.
I must admit that, like, from what I've seen, in the news, this was months ago, and it was some complete bullshit, like, from what I've seen. And I know, you grow up in the city, you see shit happen, this was some complete fuck shit and a complete setup. Like, you're right, man. This is not just about you. It is about taking down a movement. Exactly. It is about not just proving a point to NFAC, but proving a point to Fred Hampton Gun Club, to Huey P. Newton Gun Club, to the new Black Panther Party, to black folks unifying across this country that we don't want you doing that shit. We'll take you back to 1965.
Let me add something to that. Not only is, and that's one of the messages, mm-hmm. that y'all black folks ain't gonna do this. We're not going to sit back and let you just run around scaring us like that. That's the first message. But there's another message. Mm-hmm. And that message is not just aimed at Black folks. It's aimed at gun owners. I've heard that there have been some statements made by even some of the white militia that they're concerned mm-hmm. about what they're doing. That if they can go after these dudes who dot every I, cross every T, get permits and all kinds of shit, if they can go after them, then you know that it ain't gonna be nothing for them to come after us next. And that's the most dangerous thing you can do when someone is in the process or in the business of persecution. What they do is they start with one group, and you think just because it don't touch you, it's no problem. But who do you think they're gonna do after they get done with this group? They'll move on until nobody, this place will be just like the UK, where you can't own a weapon. And you always wonder, well, they can't go get my guns. They will if they start in small groups. That's the second message.
And there's one thing I do want to say, man. I watch, you know, and the brother from, I want to say, is it the Fred Hampton Gun Club? Salute to that king. I have to make sure I put that out there.
Let me go ahead and shout out Tlaib. Brother Tlaib is the general. He is the head of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. They are an NFAC coalition partner. They always have been from the beginning. That brother and I have stood on several front lines together. And when all of this broke, he was one of the first brothers that had already organized brothers and sisters and were on their way to Kentucky until I said, no, everybody stand down. Don't jump out and make yourself so obvious when it's obvious that they're coming after the ones they can find. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to yourself. Go ahead back and strategize. Go back and talk to our people. This ain't about just the gun clubs. This ain't just about the people in the Black militia. This ain't even about the people whose families are mourning the people that they lost over police violence. This is about all of us. And if you're one of those people that can't see that, then I have to question, who the hell are you and who do you really align with? Because if you can't see that this is an attack on not just the movement itself, if you can't see that this is an attack on our racial esteem, if you can't see this is a direct attack on our constitutional rights as Black people, because they won't go and do this to none of the other people. They're not going to lock up them white boys that ran up on the militia in Michigan. They're not going to go and lock up them white boys that pointed guns at the police officers in their face. They're not going to go and lock up the white boys that was on top of the roof in Louisville that they caught with the sniper rifles and just took their rifles and let them go home. They're not going to do none of that. But when it comes to Black folks.
Talk that shit, bro. Tell them the truth. Oh, my God,
y'all,
man.
Y'all tend to think that for some strange reason, it don't apply to you. Y'all know me. That's why they shut me up, because I told you once, you're too comfortable in your captivity. Y'all don't want to get free. You just want to be more comfortable. When somebody steps up and actually does it, if someone gets killed, y'all will be out in the streets marching with rainbows and signs and crying and falling out and changing profile pictures and wearing shirts saying free so-and-so, all kind of crazy stuff. You do that for the people that's passed on, that's gone, that we've lost in this war. But to those of us that are still walking and living and breathing, you pick and choose what you're going to be indignant about without realizing that this time, coming out of these last 4 years, you can keep on listening to low vibration brothers and sisters if you want to. Just because they've been personally injured and don't know how to redeem themselves, they hate anything and everybody. And you sitting there feeding off of that poison, it's going to cost you in the end, Black people. So you let them do this, and we'll never be able to have another movement like this ever again. Not in these United States. And I've never been wrong. Anyone who follows facts over feelings, or the Morning Mental or the Midday News, knows that for the last year, everything that I predicted has come true. Even the vaccine program that they about to roll out on y'all right now. I taught y'all about that back when I did the needle or the bullet. So please, you can sit here and sit back and think, oh, they arrested Jay. They didn't arrest Jay. They arrested the movement in their eyes.
And if I'm gonna get out of it,
it's going to take all of y'all to get me out.
Y'all can set the precedent right now. If y'all know what that means, go look it up. So are we able to talk about the terms of your release?
They're very simple.
Okay.
Very, very simple. controversial and very simple. I'm not allowed to, of course, possess a firearm. Of course, that's interesting when you stop and think that they didn't take all of my firearms. They took all of my long rifles, which means that now I had to remove all of my personal small arms from my residence. I am not allowed to travel outside of the state of Ohio and the state of Kentucky. That's to keep me in, keep me within arm's reach. I am, and here's the most interesting one of all, and I'm not allowed to conduct activities on social media, which is interesting because normally that's a provision that they give to people who've been involved in child porn trafficking. You know, they're doing stuff on the internet, you know, some type of sex trafficking. Of course, I don't think that shining a flashlight constitutes sexual behavior, sexual trafficking, but they put that out there. And those of us who know the truth know why they did that. Mm-hmm. There are some people who say they did that to shut you up. The guns is really not the issue. They needed to shut you up because you were starting to teach on some things that they didn't want you to teach on. When I started to do the series on the destruction of Black civilization by Chancellor Williams, and when I started to get into the piece where we reverse the mind wash, the mind transplant that was done on us as a race, all of a sudden, here they come knock, knock, knocking at the door. You understand? And putting in a special provision that is not on the list of things that they prohibit, just they wrote this one in. No conduct, no activities on social media. I don't know why, but we're going to contest that. But at the end of the day, those are the conditions. That's it.
And hence, this is why this is not live.
That is why this is not live. You know, this is not live because I cannot appear on any Instagram live, Facebook live, Twitter live, none of that live stuff on social media, not the internet, social media. That's why we're having this interview and you're free to do with it whatever you choose. I can't control what you do on the internet, but I'm not live on the internet.
Yes. If that doesn't speak fucking volumes to you Van Gogh out here.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Someone told me, they said, your silence is much more powerful than your words right now because of the simple fact that you've been so vocal and have been so influential for them to silence you. They're forcing people to go back and listen to everything you've ever said. They're forcing people to go back and rewatch all the lessons you taught. They're forcing people to take the time now to really dig into who you are, what you stand for, the NFAC, the movement, all of the coalition, our international connections. You got time to play catch up. And I myself look at it as an opportunity for Yah to tell me, silence. You said enough. Let them eat for a while.
And you know, there was a lot of shit talking before all this happened. And I was talking to Rome about this before we had even discussed the interview. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, they can't talk shit about him now, you know, because they don't do this to their boys. They don't lock them up. So this is forcing people that been hating on you for a long ass time to reevaluate that hate.
I don't get into that. I'm like this. If you was hating on me before any of this happened, that's personal. That's something that you got to fix yourself. You got to manage your emotions. Y'all said I was an agent. Oh, really? They do agents like this. Okay. Somebody said, oh, this is his exit strategy. Exit strategy to go where? He don't go nowhere like this except the federal prison. Okay. Those people that said, oh, they're untrained and they're this, that. Oh, really? The government didn't think so because they came with a full military task force just for me alone. You don't do that to people you think are untrained and have low yield weapons. Oh, no. They came because they knew exactly what they were dealing with. So anybody that was sitting around lying and hating and didn't do their research and now they got to eat their words, I hear you, but I got bigger, more important things to deal with. And you being petty.
This is why I fucks with Grandmaster J, man. Never one to say, you know, give much energy to people to talk shit because it ain't necessary.
Correct.
How you feeling though, bro? You okay?
You know, I'm going to be honest here. I learned some things that I've always taught that are true, if you don't mind. And that is, when I tell you that everything you go through in life is preparing you for something you're going to face later in life. Every experience, every fear you overcome, every victory you have, every lesson that you learn, even if it's at the hands of another person, they're preparing you for something you're going to deal with later in life. And if you learn the right lessons, when you run up against whatever it is, you're going to be cool in a fan because you're going to know how to deal with it. A lot of people were afraid when I was in custody that something would happen to me. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I learned early in the process was that they were not a threat to me physically. And they knew that. They never even acted that way. But what they did try to do was break me psychologically. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work because they didn't put me in a situation that I hadn't been in before. They didn't put me into a system that I wasn't familiar with, how it worked. I'm going to say this on your show for those who are uneducated. I'm finding out that a lot of our people don't know the difference between a state system and the federal system. They were completely different.
Completely.
The only thing you've ever had was your cousin Ray Ray or Nut Knuckle Pookie get locked up on some drug charges and they go into the fed system and you don't see them no more. That's because they caught their ass red-handed. That's why. If you go into the state system, you might get a bond. You can get out, you know, before your trial. The feds don't work that way. You better know the system when you go in, because as soon as they got a hold of me, the first thing I asked for was a detention hearing, which is a hearing where they decide whether to keep you until they have trial or let you go home under conditions. Everyone is guaranteed one, but if you don't say nothing, they'll let your ass sit there. And you'll be wondering, when do I get my bail? It ain't no bail in the fed system. You either get released from detention or you are kept, period. So I already knew that. How you get out so quick? Because I asked for my goddamn hearing. That's why. Because my charges didn't warrant me being kept. So anyway, other than that, I learned that they tried to break me psychologically and it didn't work because I've been through enough in life that it prepared me. Other than that, I'm looking forward to getting this matter resolved. Mm-hmm. My focus right now is just exposing the lies that they told. My focus right now is putting together my legal team, which I think y'all will find to be rather interesting. Because remember, I'm fighting two cases at the same time in two different courts, in two different systems. Which means I got to have not one all-star team, but two to put this down, to make this go away. So I'm doing okay. I'm busy. Y'all know I'm not over here crumbling. I'm not sitting around. Oh, I'm not that dude. And let me. Okay, some comedy had to come. Here the comedy come. The comedy. No, come on. Y'all know I had to go there for 2 minutes. My people ain't heard it. The comedy was when they put me inside of both the jails, the one up in Oldham County up in Kentucky and the one down in Louisville, which is supposed to be like, you know, the hardcore, you know, real rough. Mm-hmm. Bruh, that was the wrong mistake for them. I was the biggest hero in the history of jail. Soon as they brought me up in the joint, I'm not lying, bruh and sisters was like, oh, bruh, everybody. You see, Cass, oh, that's my man. Okay, bro, you need anything. The deputies was like, what the fuck? What's going on? Even some of the deputies was like, I know who he is. I fucks with him. You understand what I'm saying? They can see that. You keep him here, he gonna have everybody up on the eighth floor with facts over feelings, you know, live, the morning mental. You know what I mean? We got a formation in the child hall. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing I have to say about our people. If you think people in the inside don't know what's going on, they do. And when they brought me in, the deputies was like, well, damn, there ain't nothing gonna happen to him up in here because the inmates love this dude. So that was my comedy. Other than that, I'm doing all right.
Did that surprise you?
Yes. Yeah, it did. I'll be honest, it did. It did. I'm gonna be honest, it did. Because I expected a few people to know.
Right.
Not everybody in the goddamn joint. Okay? So yeah, it was surprising.
This is this has got to just this is legacy building. If you hadn't already solidified your legacy in the pantheon of Black folks, this has catapulted you into the stratosphere of the greats, unquestionably. Do you think about that?
Let me tell you something. I thought about that too. The first night when they had me in Oldham County Detention Center, which was a fairly brand new facility, out in the middle of nowhere, north of Louisville. It's not in Jefferson County. Whole nother county. It's where the FBI. When I got there and I was sitting in the cell, they treated me rather well. I'm going to be honest. They knew that I was a high profile individual. I'm being honest. And they took very special precautions. It was almost like at first they didn't believe it till the phones start ringing off the hook. 800 phone calls an hour. People walking through the door saying, where do I pay the bail? People posted outside in their cars driving up, not going nowhere. Okay. They knew whoever this person was, you know, we can't just do him.
Like we do everybody else.
Right, exactly. And even some of the inmates was like, they ain't gonna do nothing to you, bro. They know who you is up in here. Even if they don't like you, they know who you is. They don't want the reaction outside. So when I was sitting in my cell, just chilling, waiting, you know, one of the brothers brought me a pen and paper. And I sat there for a minute and I started to write a letter. And just like what you said, I started thinking about Martin Luther King and the letter from the jail in Birmingham. Mm. Okay. And I said to myself, if you write something right now, it's going to become a part of history. Do you really want to write something now? Because you're going to get out by tomorrow because you asked for your detention here. Or do you want to wait until you go back through the process? And now we've had a chance to gauge what America thinks and then write. I'm very much aware that this is something that's going to have to be talked about in the history books, no matter what angle they discuss it from. So, yes, I'm fully aware of that, but I'm also very aware that it's still unfolding. You know what I mean? So there's no need to try to put a summarization on it right now. I don't know where Yah is taking this. I don't. I'm just going with the flow because I've always gone with whatever he has directed me to do.
And you know what? And that's the honor from my perspective, is that this is one of your letters. And I just happen to have the honor and the privilege of being the first person to read that letter. So for that, I want to say thank you, because, you know, the medium has changed from Dr. King and Malcolm X to now, whereas you don't necessarily have to physically write anything, but we get to see it.
Right. Well, it's been a visual letter since Ahmaud Arbery. Brunswick, Georgia. It's been a visual letter that America has watched unfold. And you're right. Some people didn't know what they were looking at. Some people had the wrong impressions. Some people knew exactly what they were looking at and they were happy to see it. Others found that we were entering into a time where it's just another symptom of something bigger that's happening. So there's a lot happening right now, and it's not over. If someone said it's almost like we're watching a television show unfold in front of us, and there's like, this is the new season. In the last season, we was out there, activists doing formations, protesting and doing the whole nine yards. That season ended with the award show. In the second season, they raid the house trying to shut the movement down. What the brothers and sisters gonna do? This is playing out just like a movie, but it's not. It's reality, and it's happening because y'all already know the script. If you ain't read the Civil Rights Movement, then you don't know what's about to happen now. You don't know what's about to happen now. But if you're a student of history, then you realize what I'm saying is true. History is not repeating itself. People are repeating history. Mm.
That is some real shit right there, bro. But we aren't going to allow this. We aren't going to repeat that history. That $130,000 is going to turn into $260,000 in another week. And that $260,000 is going to double, and we're going to get you all up out of this shit. So we're not going to repeat that shit, bro. I'm not claiming that. This is going to be different, and we're going to set the precedent where when one of our leaders gets when they try to take down one of our leaders, we take them back. So we're going to change shit, bro, if I got something to do with it. And we just a small show, man, but we got a big reach. And I know that for a fact. Is there anything that you personally want to say to anybody before we do go?
I want to say to all of those people out there who were devoted followers of my show, Facts Over Feelings and The Morning Mental, and a lot of those folks that I told you that patience is something you have to have in this game. And yes, I miss all of you. To the rest of the public that's just figuring out what's going on, I would invite you to go back and look at, I think, how long ago was our interview? We did an interview about, a month ago, 2 months ago?
I want to say probably about 2 months ago. And then we did one a couple months prior to that.
If you watch all of those old interviews, it kind of leads you right up to where we are right now. We already talked about this stuff. But to Black people, Black folk, everywhere, not just those here in the United States, those that are actually in tune around the world, because I've heard from everywhere in the world about this, I would say to you that I knew going into this there was risk. I knew going through this that all of us may not make it to the end. But I also told you a million times, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing it for the youngsters. I'm doing it for the children. I'm doing it for the future of our race. And I simply asked you to get behind it. I didn't ask you to lead it. I didn't ask you to get in front of it. I didn't ask you to do nothing that I wouldn't do first. But what I will say is this, now they've turned the tables. And now it's not so much me out front trying to make a way for us. Now I need you to make a way for me. This is where the Black nation gets a chance to flex its power. That has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with the 13th Amendment. Let no man be a slave, lest he be a criminal. And up to this point, they have not been able to say I was a criminal. Now they're going to change that and thus begin to dismantle what they see as the forefront of the Black movement. And if they haven't gotten to you yet, don't worry. They'll get around to you real soon. So we stand together, unite now, fight, unify right here, right now, or not complain about what the next 4 years has in store for you. Because I guarantee you, a lot of y'all gonna look back and say, Jay told us this. Other than that, I miss all of you. Don't think I don't. I miss the interaction. But at the end of the day, sometimes silence is the best thing you can say. And that's all I have to say. I wanna thank the Intellectually Petty Radio for having me on. They've always been family. I know that this was pre-recorded at an earlier date, but my sentiments don't change. You all talk to other people about this. Spread the word to people who don't know what's going on. Go and look at the case. The criminal complaint is full of lies. It's, oh my God, it's so full of lies. The warrant that they served on me was rather interesting. And the case in Louisville, which popped up out of nowhere, is flimsy at best. I intend to fight this to the end, and I need all of you all with me. I say Black power. I say shalom. I say peace and love. And I hope to talk to you all again real soon.
And bro, you, as you already know, I hope you do, man. You have always got a voice here. You need anything we can ever do, man. All you have to do is say the word. And for those of you out there listening, they take his guns first. They take this next. Believe that it is not just one step, it's an orchestrated dance, and they're trying to get us off the dance floor. My name is Jobs, and you have tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin presents Intellectually Petty Radio. Stand the fuck up, man. Donate some money. Don't forget, one more time, man, tell them to GoFundMe real quick.
The GoFundMe is the Grandmaster J Legal Defense Fund. You can actually Google it, Grandmaster J Legal Defense Fund, and help us out to get out from under the very system that we were trying to stand up against. Thank you.
Thank you, man. It's always an honor and a privilege, bro. I'm here at your beck and call, whatever you need, bro. You already know, man. Peace and love to you.
Talk to you real soon.
Peace.